To the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This morning we'll meditate on events recorded for us in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 40, as follows. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been with the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. This is the word of God. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, whose person and work was anything but typical. Dear friends in Christ, for Christians, sticking to God's word is essential. It's the sine qua non. If we stray in our teaching from what God's word tells us, we're likely to end up with all sorts of errors, some of them ridiculous. I ran across an example recently. It was in a sermon by a liberal Roman Catholic priest. It was based on the text I just read to you, and the theme that he took was Jesus, a typical teenager. Well, that kind of surprised me. First of all, I thought when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem, he wasn't a teenager, he was 12. But beyond that, how could you possibly read this text and conclude that the boy Jesus was typical? Well, the writer said, Jesus rebelled against his parents when he stayed behind in Jerusalem. Typical teenager. And when they caught him and rebuked him, what did he do? He talked back to his parents and challenged their authority. Typical teenager. And this priest went on in the same vein, elaborating on his theme that Jesus was a typical teenager. The only problem, of course, was that every single one of his statements was wrong. The exact opposite of what the Holy Spirit intends to teach us in this text. In fact, if you read the text carefully, you realize that far from being typical, in many ways, Jesus was completely atypical. That is, the opposite of typical. He was totally different. A boy unlike other boys. A man unlike other men. And as we'll see, that's a very good thing for us, because only a person who was atypical in the extreme could serve as the Savior of mankind. That's why our theme for this morning is kind of a play on that Catholic priest's misbegotten theme. Our theme will be the boy Jesus, atypical adolescent. And in several ways, the Lord Jesus in his youth already was atypical. For one thing, his growth was atypical. The first and last sentences in the text I just read to you tell us a few important things about that. Verse 40 says, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." And verse 52, "Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." By the way, those two words, grace and favor, they're the same word in the Greek, and they indicate the approval of God. Jesus' physical growth, that may have been typical for his age, but his spiritual growth was anything but typical. It was atypical in the extreme. As Jesus grew, the text indicates he was being filled up, like a vessel being filled up to the brim. He was filled with wisdom and the approval of his heavenly Father. He was fulfilling an important Old Testament prophecy. In the words of the psalmist, "You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured into your lips." It may in fact have been a youthful Jesus of whom the Apostle John was thinking when he wrote in the first chapter of his Gospel, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now let me ask you a question. Does that sound like a typical adolescent to you? Most of you aren't much older than Jesus was then. Are you like a vessel filled up to the brim with godly wisdom and grace? I wasn't. Maybe you feel the way I did, more like a cracked clay pot. God keeps pouring in grace and blessings and mercy into your life, and you keep squandering it. It all seems to leak out somehow because of our sinfulness and foolishness and rebellion. Sadly, that's all too typical of us sinful human beings, and that's exactly why we needed to have an atypical Savior. That's why we needed a Passover lamb who was perfect and without blemish. For the prophet Isaiah says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." You know, you teenagers especially can actually rejoice that from this important aspect at least, Jesus wasn't anything like you. No, he was perfect. At every stage of his growth, child, youth, adult, Jesus was without sin. For your sakes, he needed to be, and for your sakes, he was. He lived the righteous life you could never hope to live, and he makes that righteousness a gift. He hands it to you. He died an innocent death to provide atonement for sin that you, on your part, could never hope to provide. With what result? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, "You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Thanks and unending praise be to our Heavenly Father for sending us exactly the Savior we needed, a blessedly atypical Savior. Amen. We'll conclude with the singing of LSB hymn 402. As is the custom in some of our churches, we will rise to sing the final stanza, which contains a reference to the Trinity.